Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for the week of Sunday, the 22nd of October, 2006. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. Well, as you'd have noticed, it's a rather long show this week, but there's a very special reason for it. Because at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, the 22nd of October, it was the induction service of our new minister, the Reverend Andrew McCausland. It was a great service, full of love and joy, so I've put the whole service up just editing out the songs. You'll hear lots of voices, and I hope it's fairly relevant who they are when they're speaking. The reading is Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, and it's read by Andrew's wife, Denise. So here we're going to start the service with our church secretary, Chris James. I'm sorry about the odd buzzing that you'll hear in it. A couple of gremlins got into the work somewhere, but we're going to hopefully iron them out for next week. So on with the service.
Well, it's absolutely lovely to welcome you all here this afternoon. Welcome to those who've come from very near and those who've come far. We especially welcome our Mayor, Councillor Anne Fox-Huntley, and also the Chair of the Somerset District Council, get this one right, Pam Drive. It's lovely for you to come and share this occasion with us. Thank you. Well, perhaps I wonder where the furthest people have come from. Now then, perhaps we better start here and work ourselves outwards, otherwise we won't quite know where we are, will we? How many have had to travel all the way from Minehead? Hey? Oh, quite a lot. Right, okay. Now, how about that place, what's that one that's nearest us, the Baptist Church? Watch it. Oh, Watch It, yeah, great. I see a few of my friends there, lovely to see you. And then we've got Bridgewater. A few from Bridgewater? One from Bridgewater, two from Bridgewater. Oh, yes, I'm there. Right. And we've got some, I think, over the hill from Lee Abbey, haven't we? Yeah, so it's a lovely special welcome, quite a large contingent from there. Welcome. And then we got some family and friends of Denise's and Andrew's. Yes. There we are. Most of them are over here, I think, and some over there as well. Isn't it? It's lovely. Now, who do you think's come the furthest out of that? Someone said...
we've even got some people actually from my last church in Seaford.
Oh, Seaford, of course,
over
yes.
Over here and over here.
Over there. They've done the wrongest, I think, most poorly. Well done. Thank you ever so much for coming. Yeah. And I'll let you say something and I'll come back.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Chris. I just wanted to add my welcome and a very great thanks for you all turning out on such a lovely day to come and be part of this celebration, which is about God's people here in this place. And it's very humbling to see you all. So thank you very much indeed for coming all that way. And I hope you enjoy the afternoon. We'll say a little bit more about the tea perhaps a bit later. But great to have you with us. Thanks for coming.
So it's a question of thank yous as well today. Thank you particularly to our moderator, Niels, who's really helped us on our journey in seeking a new minister here. And this is his last occasion, official occasion, for helping us out. So it's lovely. Thank you ever so much for what you've done for us, Niels.
That's a pleasure. Well, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
And particularly... we're welcoming Denise and Andrew and the family. As you see on the front, we haven't just got a picture of a minister. We've got the whole family, so you can actually cut it out, stick it on your fridge doors if you want to, and pray for them, because they are a family that are very dear to our hearts already, and we want to say a special welcome to them today. So thank you very much. You two in the corner, would you like to come over? Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And... I wanted to welcome the children as well, because they're very special as well. Sam's hiding over with the other Sam, I think, or is it Jack? Sorry, Jack's over there, Sam's there. Lovely. It's lovely to welcome them today. Thank you.
I will respond by saying a very big thank you. I have to say, Niels, thank you. I think you've led the church and guided the church to make a fantastic decision. I'm just sorry that that he couldn't make it and they've got me instead. But nevertheless, we're very grateful. We're very glad to be here. And the warm welcome that we've received has been fantastic from the church. So sorry about the photo. Please don't look at the front cover too long. Do you like the legs, Jez? It was the only one we had. We tried to cut the legs out, actually, but it didn't quite work. But don't let that put you off worshipping the Lord this afternoon. Thank you.
I feel something of a fraud because although I'm the moderator, it seems that it's been such a short time. It really has. It has flown by, and I have greatly appreciated the privilege of working with you and the warmth and the fellowship which I have felt, and the wisdom from the pastoral selection group as well has been really encouraging and helpful, and I appreciate that very much. So thank you for the opportunity of serving you in this way. I commend the photo to you. I think it's a lovely dog. I think possibly there are some folk here who deserve a special welcome. If there's anybody here who's a fan of Formula One... Oh, all right. Well, today does happen to be the last race of the season, and it does happen to be a crucial one for deciding the championship, and it will take place during the course of our service. So if you've made it and you're a fan of Formula One, then I think you are to be especially welcomed. We're going to worship God. This is what we have come for. And so I'm going to read, first of all, some verses from Philippians. Paul's letter written to the Christians at Philippi while he was in prison. And although he talks about the church at Philippi, he could be talking in a very real sense about the church at Minehead, because he starts off by thanking God for their partnership in the gospel. And that's what this is in part about, bringing together a partnership in which the gospel of Jesus Christ is central. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. There is a work that has to be completed in partnership in the name of Christ. Let us pray together. Gracious God, as we come before you in worship today, we come with a deep sense of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that you, who are the Almighty Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, the giver and sustainer of life, you have shown us your grace. You have shown us your love in Jesus Christ. And you have called us into your service. We thank you, gracious God, that you have called us into partnership, pastor and people, to exalt our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we thankfully and humbly come in his name. And we seek that he will be glorified amongst us. We seek that in our hearts we may enthrone him as Saviour, as Lord, as King. That we might acknowledge him as our Master. That we might confess him as the head of the church and Lord of all. The one whose name we carry. The one whom we are privileged to represent in the world. And so we bring this time of worship to you. We ask that your Holy Spirit will speak and move through every part of what we do. Lord God, we worship you. And we do this in the precious name that is above every name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen. In that same letter to the Philippians, Paul speaks in words which will be very familiar to you. He speaks of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Well, it's good to be with you this afternoon and to be here on behalf of the Southwest Baptist Association. I'm delighted to be here, not least because this is the end of a long journey for me over this last autumn few months. This is the 10th induction out of 10. And I was going to say they saved the best till last. But your pastor's done that for you already, so we don't want to push it too far. It's great to be with you. And for me, at the start of what is, for me, a new ministry amongst you as team leader, it's great to feel that there are lots of new pastors who are joining us. And so as I start a new role, so they are starting new as well. 10 new pastors. And just when I thought it was time to sort of go into hibernation now till next summer, I've discovered we're still looking for 10 or 11 more ministers for the Southwest. So if you're here visiting today and you're ordained and you love the Lord, just come forward now and we're taking names and addresses. But it's a real privilege to be part of that process now that seeks to bring pastor and people together. And it's going to be great to be able to serve in this new way amongst you. I was chatting with Niels before the service, and we were saying that one of the very first inductions that I'd been involved in up at Abbotsham, the moderator had been there in situ for 8 years. And he was a very kind and gracious man. I think when Jonathan first asked him to serve, he probably gave him the impression it would be for a few weeks or maybe a few months. And we say that to all the moderators because we can't possibly guess what the Lord has in store as we journey through together. But certainly for Niels, this last 6 or 7 months as a moderator has really flown by. And I'm grateful to Niels as part of the family and the association for the job that you've done, Niels, in helping the church here. I wish I could ask Niels to do some more moderating for us, but I think he's decided to run for cover to Hereford fairly soon. But we've still got his name and address, so we'll see what we can do in that regard. But thank you, Niels, for the way in which you have led with grace and by the Spirit of God, the fellowship here in their search for a new pastor. It's always good to know why you're here. If you've come here this afternoon because you think it's bingo, you probably have got the wrong venue. We're here this afternoon, number one, to celebrate God. It's great when we come together as brothers and sisters from across denominations. We come here to celebrate God. And as I often say on occasions like this, whilst there are those who gather together to worship gods they've created in their imagination or even in their hands, or to worship that which is in their best interests, maybe a favourite hobby, the god of their hobby, yet this afternoon we come to worship the living God, the one true God in whom there is light and life and forgiveness and strength. And so to be together like this, we always, number one, want to say we're here to celebrate God. The second thing may be a bit more disturbing for you, because we're here to celebrate the fact that God calls all his children. God calls all Christians to service. You may have thought that primarily you were here to welcome Andrew and Denise, and of course we are, but
before that, we're here to celebrate the fact that God calls all of us. Some, as you've already seen witness this afternoon, have a loud voice and an upfront role. But many, many more in the body of Christ have behind-the-scenes jobs. And maybe that's where your calling is. And maybe it feels this afternoon that no one knows exactly what you put in for the church here or wherever you come from. I want to say to you this afternoon that God knows. He understands often the pain and the sacrifice in being involved as his child, his children, in his service. So there's no one here who's come to observe this afternoon. We've come to celebrate God and to celebrate that he calls all of us by name. And he gives us tasks to do. When I was 16, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I was shy. Boy, was I shy. I just had an ability to be shy even of myself. And if you said to me at 16, Jez, one day you're going to be a pastor, I'd have laughed in a quiet, shy, kind of reserved way. But God takes all of us and he uses us. And for many of us, we'd say, in fact, the whole of our lives as Christians has been a white-knuckle ride. For 11 years, I thought I was going to be an accountant. I enjoyed being an accountant. I liked people. I liked their businesses. It was fantastic. And what Sue often says is that she married an accountant and she's now living with a minister. Because we didn't know what God was going to do for us. And I'm sure all of us here this afternoon have got a testimony where we can say, well, actually, God has given us a white-knuckle ride. We never quite know where it's going next. And that's great because God is in control. And thirdly, we're here because, yes, we want to identify the fact that God has called Andrew here to be your pastor. And with knees like that, it's just as well. They need some sunning. And I think next summer, Andrew, a little more sun on those knees, and we can truly say you're called. But God has called Andrew here. And we're celebrating that God's got a sense of humour with knees like that. God has been at work. God continues to be at work here amongst his people. So if you came here this afternoon uncertain about whether we could trust God, whether we can actually look to him to control all of our lives individually and as a family together, I pray you'll go home with a real affirmation of your faith that God does call and God is in the business of continually building his church. So Andrew, this is the moment. If you want to come and join me right here. We're going to ask you some questions, and these are good moments. Often, an induction service is likened to a marriage. And Andrew's got a fantastic marriage.
Yeah.
But it's that relationship between pastor and people. There's a mystery that occurs in marriage, and there's a mystery that occurs here as God brings pastor and people together. So before I dig a big hole for myself, I'm going to move on and ask you these questions, Andrew. And these are good questions, because on good days and on difficult days in the months and years to come, we can all as a family of God look back and say, on this moment, we put markers down as pastor and as people that we're committing each other to one another for the days to come. Andrew, as a Christian minister, you're first a disciple of Jesus. And so I ask you to affirm your faith afresh in God. Do you believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus as your Saviour and Lord?
I do.
Do you believe that God has called you to be the minister at Minehead Baptist Church?
Yes, I do.
Do you commit yourself, reliant on the Holy Spirit for all things, to carry out this ministry with enthusiasm and dedication, using your gifts to equip and build up the body of Christ, so that together and separately, each one can fulfill their calling in the church and in the world?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Well, the members of the church now here, please, at Minehead, stand. Questions now for you. Brothers and sisters, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour?
We do.
Do you acknowledge and receive Andrew as your minister?
We do.
Thank you.
We haven't finished.
Okay.
Will you encourage and support him in this ministry? And will you continue to work alongside him in seeking the extension of God's kingdom?
Amen.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Amen. Will you all please now stand? And those who are going to lay hands on Andrew, who want to come and gather around. And Denise, come as well.
Yep.
Heavenly Father, we just recognise your leading in bringing Andrew to us and Denise, Lord, and we just set him apart, Lord, at this time in the service in this church, Lord. Father, we pray that you will fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and enable him for this important ministry. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the way in which you have moved in this guy's life over the years. Lord, we thank you that you have continually called him back to you. And Lord, today we want to recognise again that you are calling and he is responding. And Lord, we ask that you'd bless him mightily with the power of your Holy Spirit as he ministers to these people in this place. Father, may they see your hand at work in everything they do. Amen.
Amen.
And this is our prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Father, we pray for a fresh anointing for Andy, for this and Denise, for this particular task, for the partnership of the gospel in this place. We ask, Father, that you'll just fill him afresh with your Holy Spirit, pour into him all the gifts that he needs for this job here. And we pray, Father, that out of his innermost being may flow rivers of living water. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Gracious God, we thank you for your grace, grace given to us so freely in Christ. We pray that that grace will be deeply manifest in Andy and Denise and in this whole fellowship, so that this town of Minehead will be touched by the witness, by the power, by the love that comes through your grace alone. In Jesus' name, amen.
And so, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for bringing this pastor and this people together at such a time as this. Lord, we pray that it may be a strategic part of building up the kingdom of God in this part of your vineyard. We pray, Lord, for Andrew, and we pray that you will make him to be a man of vision. Help him, Lord, to believe that you're going to be involved in big things and small things. And Lord, in those moments when these things appear to be just dreams and far too difficult to achieve, will you remind him that you are no man's debtor, that the one who lives in him and in us is greater than he who lives in the world, and therefore all things are possible as we trust in you. We pray, Lord, for his preaching ministry. We pray that long before he speaks the word to us, that you would speak the word to his heart. Help him, Lord, with Denise to live a godly life that speaks eloquently of your gospel, of your salvation and resurrection. May your forgiveness flow through him and be that which encourages others. So that, Lord, when he preaches your word, he may articulate the things, the deep things of heaven, and liberate many people by your spirit in the years to come. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless Andrew in his pastoral care. Grant to him, Lord, great insight and discernment, we pray. Grant to him a good and strong listening ear, and the ability to be straightforward and loving with those who seek his ministry in their hearts and lives. So, Lord, walk with Andrew and Denise. Walk with this church. And may all that starts here today speak eloquently of the joy that is yours as you see people walking and working together in harmony. Have your way in this place, we pray. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
My brother Andrew, I anoint you now in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I anoint you for this ministry to which you have been called by your Lord and Saviour. And I anoint you that you may be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that he may equip you powerfully for this ministry. I anoint you that you may know his grace and power and love, and that you may preach with boldness and courage the good news of Jesus as Saviour and as Lord. I anoint you that you may know him in your inmost being more and more as the days unfold. And I pray that with his grace and power, that you and Denise and the family may know his protection, his guarding, his guidance from this day forth. Amen.
Andrew, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the name of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, and in the name of Minehead Baptist Church, I declare you to be inducted as pastor of this church. God bless you.
Thank you.
Andrew, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and grant to you and his people here his peace. Amen. This day and always. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you. And I did ask Denise, you're going to stay with me for a sec. Please be seated. I did ask just for a moment. Thank you very much for that. But Denise and I are absolutely committed that our role here is to equip the saints. And today isn't just about me. It is about this church here and the witness of this group of people who have given us such a warm welcome. And so just bear with me, Minehead Baptist Church, but if you wouldn't mind just standing once more, and I'm going to pray. Denise and I would like to pray for you too, because this is about us. And there are many more other members of the church that are not here. I'll speak to them later. This is the part of the body of Christ here in Minehead. I just would love to pray for you. Father, I want to thank you for this group of people and for their love of you and their desire to serve you. And I pray, Lord, as I have been prayed for, that you would anoint each one of us, for my brothers and sisters, for the young people, for the children, that you would anoint us, Lord, so that whether we're at work, wherever that may be, whether we're at leisure, whether we're at home, whether we're here in this place, Lord, wherever we are, that you would light that fire within us that we then share with the people of this town and the villages around. It's all about Jesus. And we want to make Jesus known, to do his work, his way, with his power. So, Lord, let your Holy Spirit brood over us afresh, that we may glorify you and bring you pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Having said it's the 10th, it could be my last. So I should have asked for the testimonies and the stories as to what led up to this moment. And I think we do want to hear those. I can't pretend it was a deliberate ploy on my part. It went completely out of my head. We do want to hear the stories of how pastor and people came together. So I'm going to start with Chris and then on to Andrew. And we'll hear the story. Forgive me.
I'm not sure this is a church.
With it. All these hours of preparation, you know. Last week, we were reminded at our church anniversary how awesome God is. And our story, really, for calling Andrew to be our minister is definitely a case of before you call, I will answer, as in Isaiah 65, verse 24. Back in July 2005, the church were informed that our then pastor, Philip Young, would be retiring in April the following year. And so at the beginning of September last year, we met for prayer a week, seeking the Lord's will for us as a fellowship. And we felt then there was a great sense of unity and the Holy Spirit's work among us as a fellowship. But even before that had all taken place, the previous church secretary, when she'd handed on the details to me when I took over in May 2005, had given me the name of Andrew McCausland as a future preacher for when Philip would perhaps next be on holiday. I remember that although I knew nothing about him at that stage, I felt he would be the person I would actually ask next when Philip was away. And then subsequently, a church member also brought his name to my attention as a possible pastor for us when we knew that Philip would be leaving. But that was early days, and he was booked for an ordinary preaching engagement. Late in September 2005, deacons met with Jonathan Edwards, the then senior regional minister of the South West Baptist Association, to start the process of thinking and praying about the search for a new minister. A team was put in place that represented the age and the needs of the whole fellowship. And as I'd already said, Andrew was already booked for an ordinary preaching engagement. He came to us in October last year. And he spoke from Hebrews 12. We also remember, and I think this is very much so, that remember Denise, and I think Dave's here that as well. He was here that day, and we remember very much the use of the acting skills that day. And some people commented following that service to various deacons how much they'd enjoyed the ministry. And subsequently, I'd mentioned this to Jonathan Edwards, the name of Andrew as perhaps a possible candidate. But Jonathan thought it was early days, and Andrew at the time was following another possibility of ministry at the time. In November, we met as a church congregation with Jonathan Edwards and our moderator to explain the procedure about how we looked for a new minister. And at that meeting, we put together a blueprint so that the pastoral selection committee would perhaps know how to perhaps see where the Lord was leading us. And I think we might well still have it on the overhead. We thought we'd an evangelist, teacher out of the box, evangelist to the community, someone who was strong Bible teacher, someone who would encourage members' gifts, enable other gifts to be used, a man of God, someone who could reach across all generations, prayer and spiritual direction, someone who was a good delegator, a people person. I'm afraid we didn't want much, did we? But we believed that that was how the Lord was going to be leading us. Our previous minister had often said that he was a ploughboy to this fellowship, stirring up the ground for something new. One member shared this with us at that particular meeting in relation to a scripture she'd received. She said, "Do we want to see a harvest? If so, it all begins with the furrows and ridges being softened and drenched with God's Spirit. When the early church was waiting, they had a very special experience of the Holy Spirit and received power from on high. They were waiting, ready to receive, and were empowered to go ahead. The new minister alone will not take the church forward, but great blessing and fruitfulness is ours if we let the streams of God flow into our lives first." We began the official process of looking for a new minister in January. And we, at that time, had a few names given to us, and we interviewed, and we subsequently asked someone to come and preach. But it was obvious that person wasn't for us here. And then in March, it was our church meeting day, and I'd spoken to Jonathan Edwards in the afternoon, and he told me then that Andrew McCausland's name would come forward to us, along with some other names. This wasn't disclosed to the church at that particular time, but I remember after that church meeting, yet another person said to me, "Could we consider Andrew McCausland?" But I tell you, by Christmas time, actually, I was fed up of the name, if I'm honest. I was. I'd heard it from one person or another at some stage. Well, later that week, the pastoral selection committee spent some time praying and considering the profiles of various ministers, but it was quite clear that it was right to interview Andrew. His profile so fitted how we felt the ministry should be. His profile not pointed us to him, but to the Lord. It wasn't until the beginning of April that we met and spent a lovely evening with Andrew and Denise in prayer and discussion. And the next day we met to decide that, yes, we really felt that we should be asking him to come and preach with a view. We felt he'd spoken honestly and from the heart. We recognised he was a man of vision with gifts in preaching and teaching. And we felt he met the blueprint that we'd already been given. And even when I was giving out letters to members regarding this, I was yet to discover yet another church member had been praying daily for this since October. So we had to wait a little while for Andrew and Denise to come and spend a day with us because we'd still got our minister in situ at the time and it was Easter and everything else. They came to us in a weekend in May the 20th. And we had a good Saturday afternoon over tea with questions and discussions. And then on the Sunday, Andrew preached morning and evening about the ascension of Christ. And many people again commented how blessed they'd been received by the ministry of the word. And we met again for our church meeting that week. We looked again at the church blueprint. And the unanimous proposal from the pastoral selection committee was brought to the church meeting. And by the majority of the church members, this was passed and subsequently accepted by Andrew to be our new minister. We realised we needed to change in the way we are a church in the 21st century to be relevant to the people of the day. We also recognise that Andrew alone cannot do it. We will all need to work together under direction and empowering of the Holy Spirit. I wrote in our church report at the beginning of the year, as we go into 2006, we may be uncertain as to who will be pastor of the church, but we can be certain of our wonderful Lord who knows all things and will lead us as we look to him, and we are sure that he has done that. I quoted from the hymn, Rejoice, Rejoice, and I'll do that again because it's so appropriate. God is at work in us, his purpose to perform, building a kingdom of power, not of words, where things impossible by faith shall be made possible. Let's give the glory to him now.
Thank you, Chris. It's very humbling hearing all that. From my perspective, I came over in August of last year. Actually, Denise and I were at the time were considering purchasing a small hotel, which was up for sale in Wootton Courtney. And we were looking at that, but I wanted to look at what a local church where I might be part of that also. So I came here that August Sunday. And the reason we were looking at buying a hotel, we were very divided. We're not sure about whether we should go and continue a similar ministry to the one we were performing at Lee Abbey, a hospitality ministry, a service of renewal and that sort of thing, or being called back into the local church. And a very good friend of mine who's here today sat with me in our sitting room and said, just look historically at when you've tried to push doors for sort of another hospitality type ministry, those doors just didn't open. But it was very humbling to, over the previous year or two, to have a steady stream of churches that were asking, would I be interested in going there as their pastor? And I had to acknowledge that that seemed to be the way, the direction the Lord was leading us back into the local church. As Christine said, I was invited to preach here in October and did choose Hebrews 12, 1-3, which is my probably the most significant passage in the scriptures for me. And interestingly, it's the word of the Lord that James has been given to speak on this afternoon. So we'll look forward to that in a moment. I'm very grateful for all the encouragement I've received. I'm absolutely sure that this is the place that God has called me for this time. I'm looking forward to serving the people of this church and encouraging us building us up, building the body of Christ here, that we may be effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus in this town. We want to see Minehead reached for the Lord. And I want to commend the people of Minehead Baptist Church for their lovely welcome and the generosity to us. We asked if we could move in at the end of July to the new manse, and although that gave them a very quick turnaround, they rallied to and made it possible, and it's been fantastic to be part of this community before this day, because I already feel amongst family and friends, and it's great to be able to stand here on this day to be able to say that. We loved living at Lee Abbey, and we realised that moving from Lee Abbey to anywhere was going to be a wrench. But the Lord and his people here in this place have made it as easy a transition as it possibly could be, and I'm grateful to you. I'm very conscious of my need of God's provision and power to fulfil his call, but I'm grateful for the support of family, friends, for Denise and the children, and we would certainly relish your ongoing prayers as we work together in this place for God's glory. So thank you.
I'm sure there are many folk who would like to bring greetings, but it's not possible for everyone to do so. But we have asked three representative people if they would bring greetings. And the first one is going to be Mike Law, who is the president of the Southwest Baptist Association.
The Southwest Baptist Association is a very diverse group of people and group of churches, about 90 churches in Devon, Cornwall, Somerset and Dorset. Some very small, a lot medium-sized, and a few big ones. But they're a bunch of people that are good-hearted and prayerful and concerned to extend the kingdom of God in the Southwest. And on behalf of those people, I want to bring you greetings and pray that God will bless you in your ministry here at Minehead, and pray that you will find a role and a welcome amongst us.
We've heard a lot about Lee Abbey, and that has been a delight. And now we're going to hear a greeting from Chris Edmonton from Lee Abbey.
Thank you very much indeed. Lee Abbey has played an enormously important part in Andy and Denise's family's life. Not only have they spent the last 7 years there, but you actually met at Lee Abbey, didn't you? So Lee Abbey is often a dating agency amongst many other things, as people know, and it certainly proved so as far as they were concerned. So they had two innings, as it were, at Lee Abbey. And I became warden just over 4 years ago, and Andy had been the acting warden during the interregnum before I came, and did a fantastic job in that way and helped me into that role and responsibility. So I shall always be grateful for that. And the family are still greatly missed after these 7 years they spent there. But we knew it was the right move. And I remember a pub lunch that... sorry, I shouldn't have used the word pub. I realise I'm in a Baptist context here and they're all very abstemious. But we had a pub lunch and we were talking a bit about the possibility of Andy coming here. And I remember saying to Andy on the way back to Lee Abbey, you know, you're buzzing when you're talking about this particular one. There'd been all sorts of possibilities, as you've heard. And there was a sort of buzz and a light in his eyes when Minehead was talked about. And so I'm so glad that it's happened and that the partnership that we're celebrating this afternoon really is coming to fruition. And Andy has left many legacies, hasn't he, friends from Lee Abbey, at Lee Abbey. I could spend a long time, but I know that's not my role to tell you that. But speak to me quietly over the tea and I'll fill you in. But there are certain words that will be forever associated with Andy at Lee Abbey, one of which is, wow. What did I tell you? Do I hear an amen? I'm a good Anglican, but I've become half a Baptist, I think, which is the... Anyway.
Hallelujah.
Amen. In fact, I was worried that by coming up here, I might be offered one of the 10 jobs, actually. But you've left many, many more legacies than that. And again, I think partnership is going to continue. You have moved on, but the relationship, not being that far away, I'm sure is going to continue both at the personal level and at many, many other levels. And for those of you here in the church, you've got a gem in your new pastor and a gem in the family that have come with him. And we warmly commend them to you. And just a couple of verses from Philippians that I was thinking of as we were praying earlier. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And our prayer is that together in partnership you'll press on to that goal. Bless you.
Thank you very much. As we recognise that the local church is the expression of the body of Christ, where the witness has to be carried out, and the importance of that, we're delighted to welcome Simon Lloyd from St Andrews, who's now going to bring a greeting on behalf of the local fellowship.
Well, from St Andrews, St Michael's, St Peter's, and also from the Avenue Methodist Church and all the other churches in Minehead. It's really good to welcome you, Andrew and Denise, and your family. It's wonderful that you're here. We knew that Philip was going for a long time, and we have been praying very much for you, though we didn't always know your name, but we have been praying for you, and ever since we did know your name, then we've been praying even more fervently, and we continue to pray for you and look forward to sharing ministry in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Spirit here in Minehead. Thank you for coming.
I'm going to read from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 4. 1 to 3 even. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for this day, for your calling on the lives of Andy and Denise and the family. And Father, we pray that through your word, through this passage, you will speak to them and speak to us for the glory of Jesus. Amen. I do want to start with a big thank you, because it's a real delight and privilege to be with you on this very special occasion. Thank you for inviting me and my wife, Inger, to come and join with you, and you're welcome to Andy and to the whole family. I served at Lee Abbey as a chaplain for nearly 5 years, and so I've become aware of some of those particular gifts that Andy brings, but also the very special grace and creativity that Denise has. And I hope, without pressurizing her, that over the coming years you'll see more and more. No pressure, Denise. And for Ellen, Sam and Jack, I don't know whether you'll get quite such colourful legwear every Sunday, but it's brilliant, Ellen. Absolutely brilliant. And I want to emphasise that it's as a family, as they come, that they bring their own special ministry, quite apart from those out-of-the-box gifts that you're looking for. That was one phrase that I really identified. You know, McCausland, out-of-the-box. Yes, it made a lot of sense to me. But it is a delight and privilege to be here with you. I read recently of a memorial in a church. Being an Anglican myself, I probably have to say I think that it was an Anglican church. And this memorial read as follows. In loving memory of our vicar, so far so good, who successfully resisted enthusiasm for over 40 years. Now, Andy has many qualities, but you know and I know that resisting enthusiasm is certainly not one of them. Ornithologists, like my wife, are good at recognizing birds by their call. And students of the McCausland species easily recognize the adult male by his loud and repeated exclamations. You've heard a couple of them already, particularly the wow. One of the others that I don't think was mentioned was glory. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
I can't begin to imitate. You really have to hear the original for yourself. But clearly and unashamedly, Andrew is a man who longs to, and who does so clearly, proclaim the wow factor, the glory of our Christian faith, the awesome majesty of our God, the Creator. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. The wow factor, wonder of wonders, of the mind-blowing, breathtaking wonder of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. In that time of open prayer, we heard one of those lovely verses quoted, that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, for you and for me. And the wow factor of that quite astonishing, logic-defying welcome of the Father for the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, who after treating the father with such contempt, at last turns back to him and is received amazingly with open arms by the running father as a child of the living God. Praise God that Andrew is a man who likes loudly and unashamedly to proclaim and preach the wow and the glory of the Christian gospel. I was reminded again just a couple of days ago of the power of that parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son. That one of the most precious commodities that we as Christ followers have to offer in 2006 is hope. The hope of new beginnings for people trapped in despair. The hope of new beginnings in Jesus. 6 months ago, somebody popped into one of the village churches that I minister in. And a visitor who went in to see this lady had made rather a mess of her life. And the visitor from our fellowship, just in the course of a conversation, just very naturally fed in, not the whole story, but just the outlines, the framework of the story of the prodigal son. And I was very moved to discover just a couple of days ago that 6 months on, that lady who had been so trapped by her mistakes said that it was just those few sentences about the prodigal that had given her what? Gave her hope. Hope that she really could be welcomed back. And that in the dark times she'd held on to that hope of the Father's mercy, that she could really be forgiven and welcomed home. And my prayer, Andrew, for you as the church, is that over the coming years in this partnership in ministry, you will know the wow and the glory of seeing many, many prodigals meeting the open arms of the Father. There is nothing more wonderful. A couple of weeks ago, I was on a stretch of the East Lynne River, which Andy and Denise know well, walking up between Watersmeet and Rockford. And I was on my own, and it was very quiet, and I was just praying about this afternoon, praying for Andy and Denise, praying even more for the church. And and I sensed, Andy, that God gave me three particular words. And the first, I was so interested, and there's a sense all the way through the service of things just fitting together. Lord saying, yes, this is right. The first was about fire, which I think you mentioned. And I was reminded as I prayed beside the river of that lovely passage in 2 Timothy 1 where Paul encourages Timothy to fan into flames the gift that has been given him. And Andrew, I sense that a key part of your ministry will be that building on all the good work that has gone before, you're going to be encouraging that fanning into flame of gifts amongst existing members, but actually among many new members as well. And to change analogy completely, Andy, and don't get too worried about this, I just sort of sense part of your role is to act as a midwife. Relax. But it's about bringing to birth ministries, gifts that are here growing and need to be brought into the light of day. And of course, for you and the church, preeminently to share in that wonderful midwife ministry of bringing people to new birth in Christ. To call you a midwife of fire sounds a bit odd, but I think you get the idea. The second word Andy is going to, that I sensed for Andy, he's not going to like at all. But I did sense very strongly the word patience. I'm sorry, Andy. I have to be faithful in giving it. But you know, there are times when making the fires, you have to take your time preparing and laying. Then you light it. You think you've done everything. And you watch. I'm not a brilliant fire. The number of times that I've watched fires, wondering whether anything is going to happen. But I sense for you, Andy, that word for patience. And there are going to be times when you're wondering, is anything happening out there? And the Lord's saying, trust. Trust, even when you don't see the visible flames, as you patiently prepare and wait on the Lord. The flames will come. Somebody once said, be patient. You get the chicken by hatching the egg, not by smashing it open. Be patient. And patience and perseverance, of course, come out of that wonderful passage from Hebrews 12. I had no idea that Andy had preached on it here. And I just sort of thinking before praying before the Lord and was led to that passage. So it's very exciting to hear that it's been significant in Andy's walk in searching and joining with you. And of course, the writer uses the image of a race. And just note that that race is one which is marked out for us. It's no accident, Andy, that you are here this afternoon. This is part of the race marked out for Denise and for you and for the whole family. And of course, we know that it's not a 100-yard dash, but it's a long-distance race. It needs stamina and, dare I say it again, patience and perseverance. The writer to Hebrews is writing to Christians who were under pressure, under persecution, pressure to compromise in their newfound faith in Christ. And whether it's in Minehead or wherever we come from, we may not be under the kind of persecution that our brothers and sisters in many Islamic and other states face. Yet almost every headline we read, every news bulletin we listen to, underlines two fundamental truths for Christ followers in this age in Britain. First, the desperate, crying need of so many for the love and light of Christ. And secondly, that the time for fence-sitting is past. That for followers of Christ, fence-sitting is not an option. Drifting along with the crowd, going with the culture of the day, is not an option. And my experience, knowing him for several years, is that your new minister is a man who is willing to stand up for Jesus and to be counted. And of course, we think in that passage from Hebrews, we know that we're not alone in the race. Not only is the Lord himself with us, never leaving or forsaking us, but the writer says, take heart, take inspiration from the example of those who've gone before, that wonderful cloud of witnesses, our forerunners, those faithful ancestors whose lives God still uses to inspire us. for you in this fellowship that may include not only the great heroes of Hebrews 11, but also many devoted Christians who have so faithfully served God over the years here in Minehead, and who've now passed down the baton to you at this point. But the writer to Hebrews reminds us that to run the race effectively, we are called to throw off the things which might entangle us, the sin that so easily entangles. And of course, we all know the way in which sin swept under the carpet, not dealt with, treated lightly, can bring us to a grinding, tragic halt. But also, the writer says, throw off the things which hinder. A wise spiritual director from the last century once said, ultimately, there are two fundamental things which hold us back in our Christian walk. One is sin, and the other is fear. It can be fear of change, fear of stepping out, fear of being different. But our Lord Christ himself calls us to be different and to make a difference. Sometimes, you know, the things that hinder can be things which have served their purpose in the past, but now need to be let go of. And one needs real prayer for discernment, for the leadership, for ourselves, wherever we may be, to recognize those things which have been really valuable in the past, but have now served their purpose, and it's time to move on to the new thing. Speaking of hindrances, I come to the third word that I sensed for you, Andrew. That first word of fire, the second of patience. The third, not so much a word, but a name. And it just dropped, as I say, by the river, just straight out of the blue into my mind. Jethro. Speaking of wise delegation. Because one thing that can really hinder is carrying excessive burdens, taking on too many things personally, saying out of a warm heart, yes, too often. Jethro speaks to me of the importance of wise delegation. Someone once said, while good delegation is a form of dying, it is in fact the only way for leaders to survive. You see, by delegating to others, leaders give roots and they also give wings. And so may the Lord guide you, Andy, and the leadership here in wise delegation. We're called to run our race with perseverance. And of course, sometimes in the honeymoon days of a new ministry, it may feel like running easily on the flat, on springy turf. But you know, and we know, that the hills will come. Issues will need to be confronted. But don't panic. Keep loving, keep praying, keep going. And in retrospect, you'll look back on those painful, breath-grabbing hills, when you've almost ground to a halt sometimes, wondering if you're making any progress. And you'll see the hills were an even more important part of the journey than the springy turf. It was the, if I may quote an Anglican, the new Archbishop of York, John Sentimu, who adapted the old Latin sentence, wasn't it? Julius Caesar, who said, Veni, vidi, vici, I came, I saw, I conquered. John Sentimu said, Veni, vidi, velcro. I came, I saw, I stuck. Pray for the velcro factor, that stickability, for your leaders and for yourselves. But in all this, fixing our eyes on the goal, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You see, it's about focus. It's about keeping Christ in fact, not just in theory, not just in song,
but in the deepest fibre of our beings and the way we live our lives Monday to Saturday as well as Sunday, keeping Jesus as the centre of all we do and say and plan. One group of churches that I'm associated with stated its aim very simply: creating communities of wholeness with Christ at the center, and building the kingdom of Christ here in Minehead, or wherever we, as those of us who are visitors, are called. May Christ by his Spirit enable us to keep turning back, to fix our eyes afresh on Jesus. Oswald Chambers said, "Beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ." And he went on to say, "The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for him." Just think about it. So with that in mind, let me finish with the words of one of those great witnesses from the last century. William Temple, dear to the hearts of all those in Lee Abbey, since it was really out of his great report and great work about towards the evangelization of England that Lee Abbey sprang. And 85 years ago, William Temple, on becoming Bishop of Manchester, said in his first sermon this: "I come as a learner, with no policy to advocate, no plan already formed to follow. But I come with one burning desire. It is that in all our activities we should help each other to fix our eyes on Jesus, making him our only guide. But," said this great leader, "pray for me, chiefly, that I may never let go of the unseen hand of the Lord Jesus and may live in daily fellowship with him. It is so vital that you will most of all help me to help you." My dear friend, my prayer for you is that in this ministry to which God, I believe, has so plainly called you, you may indeed never let go of the unseen hand of the Lord Jesus. And for you as a church, that in your prayers for him and Denise and the family, you will all faithfully help him to help you. May God richly bless you all. And may he, through your ministry in partnership, bring many, many, many prodigals home. With lots of wow, lots of glory, and lots of hallelujah. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, for all of us, I pray and ask for your Spirit's help and enabling. Lord, may we see you more clearly. And in seeing you more clearly, may we love you more dearly. And in loving you more dearly, enable us to follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.
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 Well, I hope you enjoyed the service, and you'll be hearing lots more from Andrew, as he'll be preaching the sermons at the church most Sundays from now on. So we'll hope you really enjoy that. If you've got any comments or questions, please feel free to email me on podcast@minehead-baptist.com or go and check out our website, which is over at minehead-baptist.com. Thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed, and I'll speak to you soon.